Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. The title of the message will be When Glory Days Fade. When Glory Days Fade. Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 28. Say amen when you've got it. I'm going to read a pretty lengthy portion of Scripture, but some of the best preaching you'll ever hear when the Scripture is being read. Amen. Verse 28 in Luke chapter 9. It says, Some 8 days after these sayings, he took along Peter and James, or John and James, and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face became different, and his clothing became white and gleaming. And behold, two men were talking with him, and they were Moses and Elijah, who, appearing in glory, were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions had been overcome with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as these were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not realizing what he was saying. While he was saying this, a cloud formed and began to overshadow them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. Then a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one, listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and reported to no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. And a man from the crowd shouting, saying, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams, and it throws him into a convulsion, with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, and they could not." And Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you and put up with you? Bring your son here." And while he was still approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground and threw him into a convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. For the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this statement, and it was concealed from them so that they would not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this statement. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, Lord, I come to you, God, with praise and thanksgiving, God. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for this day, God. And Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you've allowed me to study your word, Father God, and to, Lord, to see you, Father God, through your word, God. And Lord, I give you praise for that. And Father, I pray right now, Father God, as I've prayed throughout the week, Father God, for this service, God, I pray, God, that you would be glorified with every word spoken, Father God. And Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you would hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Forgive me of any sins, Father God. And Lord, let me only speak when spoken through, God. And Lord, I ask right now, Father God, that you prepare your hearts of your people, God. I give you praise, Father, for the things that you are doing, God, because, Lord, your word will not go out and return void, but will accomplish that what you purpose, God. Lord, we walk by faith and not by sight, God. And Lord, we just give you the praise. And all in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen. Can you imagine a time in your life when all seemed right? One day, one of the days that I remember is a Valentine's Day. With a young red-headed lady in a black dress trimmed in pink. I remember driving away from the Martin's Theater from downtown, being on top of the world, because she said yes. It was a glorious day, one of the highlighting days. I remember days of when I've held my son in my arms and my daughter in my arms for the first time and thought, man, it doesn't get any better than this. Of course, those are just some days, but one of the greatest days is when I knelt at an altar and gave my life to Christ. One of the most important, eternally speaking. You know, you may have had a glory day, and I just want you to imagine back. Maybe you were the captain of the football team that took it to state and won state. Maybe you have memories of starting your family and just glorious times. Glorious times. And you just look and you think, man, it doesn't get any better than this. The details may differ, but all of us, I'm sure, has experienced a day that you thought, man, I'm on top of the world. I believe it's safe to assume that we've all experienced highs in our life, these mountaintop experiences, when all seemed right, when all things went well. We refer to this as the glory days. The glory days. Many times in conversations we say, remember when. However, I want to let you know that every single one of us, though we may experience these high mountaintop experiences, it is also safe to assume that these mountain peaks will not last forever. There will come a day when the glory begins to fade. Amen. Days of darkness, days that you wish what you had never seen. But what do you do? What do you do when life transitions from the glory day to a downright gory day? What do you do? What do you put your trust in? Where does your faith lie? Does it lie upon that mountaintop experience, or does it lie on something much more deeper and much more permanent than that? This passage that I read to you, this actually split apart in 2 days. Matter of fact, it begins in verse 28, and it was 8 days after some sayings, and we'll get to that in just a second. This is this day, this mountaintop experience. There's only a few. There was only a few of the disciples that Jesus chose to show His glory to. And this is the one time in the Bible, in the gospel account, that Jesus did not hide His glory, but He revealed it. He revealed His glory. All through the Scripture, He was telling folks, don't tell them this and don't tell them that. He was trying to keep His glory, but this time He let it shine. The first day is a glorious day, and then of the second day, and then it says on the next day, after this mountaintop experience, there's a principle here, and it's not a point in my sermon, but many times when you have a mountaintop experience on one day, guess what? Tomorrow's coming. And on the next day, it goes to a frustrating day, a day of frustration because this man's boy has been demon-possessed. He brought him to the disciples, and they could not cast him. Frustration and inability. Have you ever had one of those days? One of those days where, man, you was just on top of the mountain, and the next day, you're scraping through the valley, hoping and praying somebody will come and drag you along because you don't know if you can make it. Now, I want you to stop and kind of build up to this point of where it starts off before. That Jesus just doesn't go up on a mountain and transfigures, but he does a lot in chapter 9 that I want to talk about. Before examining the events of these 2 days, this glorious day and this gory day, before examining that, I want to look and see what has transpired before us, give you a little bit of context of what's happened. Now, this context, all these events shape the perception of all the disciples up until this point. Now, remember, we read the Bible and we think that, hey, why did they not understand? Notice the last verse we read, it said they didn't understand what He was talking about. They were living it. They couldn't turn to the next page. They had to wait until the next day or when it was revealed to them. We have the full revelation of God. And so it's real easy for us to sit back and say, man, why didn't they get it? But if you were there, you probably wouldn't have got it either, or you wouldn't have. But some events happened. Matter of fact, in verses 1 through 9, Jesus had sent out the 12 into a preaching campaign of chapter 9. They were going about, and the other gospel narratives actually reveal that they were people, demons cast out of people, sickness healed, people converted. I mean, this was a major, Billy Graham ain't got nothing on these, okay? They're going around and they are really doing it up. And matter of fact, one gospel tells them, don't rejoice because of all the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Now, it was a glorious time, wasn't it? A glorious time. Then it goes on, and right after that, Jesus actually holds the largest fish fry in in Israel. He feeds the 5,000. Now, we get confused a lot of time, or we don't understand. That was just men being counted there. They say, some scholars say they could be up to 20 to 25. When you count men, women, and children, they could have been up to 20 to 25,000 people sitting there munching on some fish. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good ministerial mountaintop. Amen? You know, your life is just your physical life and your spiritual life many times parallel. You'll have good, glorious days in ministry, and then some days you just want to hang up the towel and quit. Amen? And these events are really pushing these men to say, man, this is the one. Matter of fact, in this same chapter, in verses 18 through 22, Peter actually confesses that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the chosen one. Now, he's walked and he's been commissioned. He's seen demons flee in Jesus' name. He has seen lame people walk in Jesus' name. He's seen all these great and glorious things. He's even seen what a sack lunch turned into, feeding multitudes. And man, he says, you are the one. You're the Son of God. Man, that's a glorious experience. I've even shared. And you, many of you that are born again, amen, you have that same experience when it just clicked and it seems like that day is set apart. You may not remember the date or the time, but you remember the time when it clicked and said, Jesus, you are who you say you are. What a glorious day. Matter of fact, some of the best advice I ever got was on December 17, 2001, after my glorious rededication to the Lord. My mother sat on my bed. She woke me up. She sat down and she said, Kevin, you feel like you're on cloud 9 right now. She said, but one day you're going to wake up and you ain't going to feel saved. But just remember, you ain't saved by feeling. You're saved by faith in the Word of God. Hold on to His promises, because He's holding on to you. And many days, although I've had many mountaintop experiences, that little conversation has brought back up in my spirit and says, you know what? I can make it through. Amen? All through the gospel narratives, we see these high points. We see how Jesus has, but notice in verses 23 through 27, Jesus hints at some difficult times in chapter 9. He starts talking about, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to do what? Tiptoe through the tulips with me and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, he says you must take up your cross. Now, these gentlemen had just seen glorious miracles and had a glorious time. But now he's saying, there's a time coming. It's going to be tough. There's going to be a valley. Jesus was preparing them and himself for his offering, for his passion during the Easter, what we celebrate during Easter. What he went through, all the torture and the torment. He knew that the glory days wouldn't always be, but there was going to be one day. It's going to be a series of days that their whole life and their whole faith is going to be shaken to the core. But what do you do? Now, I want you to focus on verses 28 through 36. Turn your attention there. A select few
had a true mountaintop experience in this passage. They went up. They witnessed Jesus transfigure before them. Matter of fact, it's the same word that we get, the metamorphosis, change from the inside. All of a sudden, his appearance changes, and they see him as he is today, glorified. Not to mention, it was probably pretty significant for a Jew at least to see Moses and Elijah standing there. It's probably, and you have this mountaintop experience. And why did Jesus allow them to see this metamorphosis, this change? Why did Jesus go apart? Notice it was up on the mountain when he was praying that all this was happening. Notice this, that the disciples were even having trouble staying awake. They had a tendency of doing that, didn't they? So when you fall asleep in your prayer closet, don't feel too bad. Amen. They were in Jesus' glorified presence, and they were still fighting to stay awake. Amen? But why? Warren Werb says it this way. He said there's three reasons for Jesus' transformation here. First of all, it signified God's seal of approval on Peter's confession. Peter had just confessed that Jesus was Lord. And now he's saying, this is my stamp of approval. Since you realize, notice, before he got to see who Jesus really was, he had to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. Notice that. Jesus said it this way. He said that if you believe me and keep my commandments, the Father will manifest us to you. Amen? Second, it's a demonstration of the promised kingdom, because notice in verse 27, just prior, he said that, you know what? He said, some will not taste death until you see the kingdom of God. It's a demonstration of God, promise kept. But also, there's a practical lesson, Warren Werb says. He says that, you know what? That we can have a transfiguration moment every single day through Christ Jesus. Now, notice what this party, there's these three disciples that are fighting sleep, and there's these three other guys sitting there talking. I want you to notice what they're talking about. It happens in verse 31, 41, and 44. Notice what it says. They were talking about his departure. Actually, it's the same word that's translated Exodus. Jesus was going, what he was preparing for was saying, look, I know, I'm letting them know that who I am, but guess what? There's going to come a day when I'm going to be laid in the ground and they're going to be questioning everything. This glorious day is going to be overshadowed with the gory day of the cross. And he's talking to Moses and Elijah. They were discussing his upcoming departure. Now, Moses and Elijah signify the law and the prophets. Now, what did Jesus tell the two walking on the road to Emmaus? He began with the law and the prophets and began to show that Christ must suffer and that he was the Christ. Now, Moses and Elijah, the law came by Moses, and Elijah was the great prophet that was to come. So, this is showing that everything's pointing up to this moment. Now, I want you to notice what's happening in this holy huddle here. There, Jesus is preparing to walk the Via Dolorosa, and God has sent Moses and Elijah to come, and directing them, saying, you know what? This is the way you to go. They're discussing this. They're having a conversation and letting the disciples, and of course it was for the disciples, not for these men. Jesus knew what he had to do. But he's talking about that, and he's pointing to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. You know, it's all the death is alluded to, like I said, in verses 31, 41, and 44. This would be a gory day that would take the disciples by surprise, because it says in the last verse that they did not understand what Jesus was talking about. All they knew is, man, he had a bunch of fish to feed everybody. When I saw, there wasn't but a few. I seen dead people raised. I seen all these great and mighty, and now I'm seeing him transfigured like an angelic being, glorified, standing there with two of the top heroes of the Bible, of Moses and Elijah. It was a glorious time. Have you ever seen Moses or Elijah? If you do, we might need to get you some medication. There's another reason I believe Moses and Elijah are something we should point out that Moses and Elijah had in common with Jesus. Jesus was talking about his departure and the trial that he's fixing to come up against, but Moses and Elijah also had their trying times. They had some glorious times. I mean, Moses was the one that stretched a rod out over the rod of God over the Red Sea, and it parted, and they walked across on dry land. He's seen all these great and mighty miracles, but it was also the same Moses that went to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5, verses 22 chapter 6, verse 8, and goes on and says, you know what? Why did you tell me to come here? You've done nothing but harm these people. You've made their workload get heavier when I went to Pharaoh. You have not delivered. It was the same Moses that was on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Elijah was a great man of God. He prayed and it stopped raining for 3.5 years. All of a sudden he tucked his head between his legs and prayed again, and there was a cloud the size of a man's hand. And all of a sudden, the sound of abundant rain. He was the same man that taunted and laughed at the prophets of Baal and said, you know what, is your God gone on vacation? Has he gone to the restroom? If you look at it, that's actually what he's taunting them with. He said, you're cutting yourself, you're shaking and dancing and doing all this thing. He said, but you know what, my God will answer. And fire came down and licked up. And you know what, I love it. He kind of went the extra mile. He wet everything too. He took and he said, you know what, my God will answer. But then in the next few chapters, he's sitting up under a juniper tree. I'm the only one, Lord. Just kill me now. Went from a glorious experience to a downright discouraging valley, dry, empty, desolate place. So what do you do? What do? If you keep on, notice what Peter says in verse 33. Look at verse 33. After all this was going on, Peter said, he said, and as they were leaving, he said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now, what do you do in a tent? You sleep, you stay, don't you? Isn't it just like us? You know what Peter was saying? He said, man, let this event keep going. Let's just build, let's get these tents, let's just stay here in this moment at this time. You know what? All of us want to stay on the mountaintop, don't we? I have never heard, I've heard people come down here and ask for prayer for blessings and health and all this, and I have yet to find one person at the altar saying, God, I pray trial and tribulation down on me. All of us like to stay in that blessed moment, don't we? But it doesn't happen. Tent's only temporary anyway. That's not a point. That just hit me. Yeah, but the thing about it is, he wanted to stay. He wanted to stay. But notice this. Through all he wanted Christ to stay. Warren Wiersbe writes, he said he wanted Jesus to hold on to glory apart from the suffering. But this is not God's plan. Now notice what it does. Notice what he does. He says, look, did God tell these disciples, remember this experience, remember the cloud, and remember Elijah and Moses and the glorified? No, what did he say? He said, this is my son, my chosen one. Hear him. Listen to him. Do you know that no matter what you go through, mountaintops experiences do not last? You're not going to be able to camp out on top of the glorious mountain and say, I'm going to stay here and not move any more further in the future. You're going to have to come down the valley. But remember this, we must listen to Him. How do we listen to Him? He's given the full revelation, and many of you are holding it in your hand right now. Jesus experienced gory days so that we could live in glory. Now, keep going. You have this mountaintop experience and how great this was. And notice that God didn't say, hey, remember this. Because you know what? You're going to forget about it. You might not forget this happened. But you know what? Those events, those miracles, all those things are not going to sustain you. But my word is going to sustain you. My word. And when I say my word, I'm not really talking about the Bible. I'm talking about God incarnate. The word made flesh. Jesus. The word of God is a person. Amen? And he's the one that we are to listen to. We go on in the very next day. What a difference a day makes. Yeah, I mean, here they are. They're having this glorious time and this glorious experience. And God says, look, he knows this is not going to last. He knows there's troubled days ahead. He said, listen to him. Hear his word. And the very next day, now, there was different disciples. The ones that stayed down at the bottom of the mountain. But it was a day of frustration. Seemed like nothing was working right. Man, we prayed and we prayed, and this man has brought his son, and we can't do anything about it. Now, we just went out. We were just these, the other, even though they wasn't on top of the mountain, some of the ones were just the same 12 that went out and healed the sick and cast out devils and preached the gospel. But now they can't. The glory day has passed. And now they're walking through the valley. But let me tell you something. The word remains. Hear it. The word remains. When you face those days, even when it doesn't seem like it's working, the word remains. Hear him. Hear him. What do you do when you're walking through the valley? You snuggle up. There's been many times that I've held my Bible in my arms, laying in that bed at night, not knowing how things were going to turn out. But I said, God, I know your word is true. And I would begin to read passages. And even though I didn't feel like it, even though I didn't feel like God was moving in my life, I'd say, God, this word is true. And every man's a liar. I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what anybody else says. But I know that you are with me. And he walks. The word remains. And even on days that don't make sense, Jesus is still the answer. I don't know what your question is this morning, but Jesus is still in control. He is the answer. And this is what we must cling to, the promises of God in those times that we don't understand. Yes, we may have seen God move in glorious ways, but our faith is not in miracles or signs or wonders. Our faith is in the Word of God. Just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego said, even if you don't save us, God, we will not bend. We will not bow. But my faith is in you. Notice in verses 43 and 44. And all after he cast the demon out. Now there's still some glory there, isn't there? But after he cast the demon out, everybody was amazed at the greatness of God. But while everyone was marveling at all that he was doing, he said to his disciples, let these words sink into your ears. If you don't remember anything, I know we was just on the mountaintop yesterday, but remember my word. I didn't promise it was going to be easy. I didn't promise that you wouldn't struggle, but I did promise I would be with you every step of the way. I will lift you up. I am the lifter of your head. I am the healer of your body. And even though people shake their head and walk away and wag their head at you and say there's no hope, there's always hope in God. Amen? No matter what happens, I want you to know, let these words sink in, that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. What he was saying, there's going to come a day that you're not going to understand. There's going to be a day that you just don't quite get it. You don't know why God worked that way. You don't know. These men didn't know why their Messiah, the chosen one, is laying there lifeless on a cross. They didn't understand what in the world is going on. I thought surely he would have run out all the enemies of Israel out. Oh, but the third day. but the third day. They didn't understand. And see, sometimes you won't understand. You don't understand what God's going on in your life right now. But let me tell you something. Even when you can't see His hand and you don't trust His hand, you can trust His heart. And the only way you're going to know His heart is by getting in the Word of God and let it sink down in your ears. Get this right. You're going to see this happen, but I'm here. It's my plan. I'm working. Even when the glory days fade away, my glory will never fade. I've never known defeat, and I am with you always, even unto the end. Amen. See, our faith does not come from glorious experiences. Some of you, I've heard people say, well, I stopped believing when God didn't answer and this person passed away or this person done this or I had a need and God didn't move the way I thought, so the God must not be real. Let me tell you something. Your faith should never be anchored in what you see, but by what the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, now faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. Let me tell you, no matter what you're facing, find the promise in the Bible, and though all hell assail you, I'm telling you, this word will not pass away, but every single jot and tittle will come to pass. Now, people say, well, it didn't work out the way I wanted. I tell you, don't let your faith be based on when you're high on the mountaintop. Because you know what? I've been on top of mountains before, and it's bare. There's not a whole lot of life up there, is there? But when you go down in the valley, man, there's growth everywhere. See, God knows what He's doing. Sister, would you come? What do you do when the glory days end? What do you do when you wake up that morning and you don't feel saved? Do what my mama told me to do. Go to Romans chapter 10, verses 9. Through 13 and read those and say, you know what? The Bible plainly says that if I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is rose from the grave, I'm saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be, didn't say might, shall be saved. There's been times where I felt like, man, God is all around and, man, everything's just hunky-dory in life and, man, I'm so excited. And though, cherish those moments, but let me tell you, you can't be like Peter and want to pitch a tent there. You can't stay. Turn to God's Word and hear Him. Some of you are going through some trials during this time. Some of you have been facing a trial for years and you don't see how it's working out. But let me tell you, hear Him. Don't listen to Kevin this morning. Hear the Word of the Lord this morning. You can trust God's heart when you don't see His hand. He's working. He's never left you. And the Bible says that all things work for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. That's a promise. In closing, there's one thing I want you to stand. There's one thing about this passage. There's one thing about this passage that I looked at. This is the perfect illustration of the gospel. You got God up on the mountain in glory. Yet He takes the time to come down into the valley and help the hopeless. The helpless. I don't know about you. Jesus was King of glory. And He left the portals of heaven and walked this earth to help the helpless. You may be frustrated right now and you said, God, I've prayed about this, man. I've commanded devils out and I've anointed the house and I've done this and I've done that and it just don't seem to work. Let me tell you something. Today, not tomorrow, not in this service, Not tomorrow, not in the evening or this service. You can cast your care upon Him and just say, you know what, I leave it at the altar and I'm not picking it up anymore. God, help me carry it. Help me carry it to you. Shift the load on you. Many of you are facing things, but some of you are facing without the promise of Jesus' presence. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that promise of all things working for your good, guess what? You can't claim that. I didn't say it. The Word said it. But if you're here today, today's the God of the mountains sent an old fat, hairy-faced country boy to let you know, to let you know. If you just get, notice this, Jesus didn't say, oh, well, what am I going to do with this boy? Oh, what do I do? I got to go up to, no, he said, even as he was approaching, the demon started getting nervous and started making the child convulse. Let me tell you something. When you get Jesus, when you get a hold of Jesus, and when you turn on the light, the darkness will go. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Today. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't boast of tomorrow. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to admonish you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, these altars are open, and I would love to pray with you. But I want to say this. Maybe you've been going through one of those tough times. Maybe you hadn't seen a glory day in quite some time, and you just need to talk to Jesus. These altars are open. When glory fades, we can still trust God's hand. Father, I give you the praise. I've delivered your message. I thank you, God, that it won't go out and return void, but will accomplish that which you purposed. In Jesus' name. If all minds are clear,